The Score North Twins Show.
All right, Score North extra innings. We actually have a win to talk about. Twins snap a five-game losing streak. They beat the Detroit Tigers on Saturday. My name's Declan Goff. That's Alex Wested here with me on extra innings making his debut. So, Alex, you're also making your first appearance on the Score North Twins Show, the extra innings portion of it at least. Welcome to the show, dude. Thanks for joining me.
Well, of course, happy to. You know, it's a great thing to be able to talk Minnesota Twins baseball. There's playoff basketball in the air, of course, but you like to see the Twins get back on the winning side of things following that five-game losing streak, just to be able to get some momentum going into the rest of this homestand.
Absolutely. You know, you were telling me off, Mike, you used to be an usher for like 10 years. I'm guessing that was like all at Target Field. Was that Metrodome days too, or just Target Field?
No, that was all at Target Field. I started my junior year in college in 2014 and said I wanted to go 10 years, and 10 years was enough.
Nice, yeah. Those ushers, man, some of them are saints, dude. So you're doing the Lord's work there, especially with pre-pitch clock era, now post-pitch clock era. There can be some long nights at the ballpark. So glad you're able to take in some Twins games, and thanks for joining me here. Twins get back on track, a big win. Alex, what I noticed today, and look, it was far from like perfect. It was far from ideal still. But to me, what I gleaned, it looked like the Twins were finally starting, and this is just one game, right? But it looks like they were finally starting today to actually have productive at-bats. You know, I know the hits weren't all there, but the sacrifice flies, right? It just seemed like they started having more productive at-bats today.
Well, I think the big thing with you look at how they scored their runs today. None of them were on, you know, extra base hits, on big plays. They're on the small ball plays. You think about just putting the ball in play, moving the runners over. You talk about playing in Minneapolis in cold weather situations like we have here in April. It's exactly what the Minnesota Twins needed to do today. Put the ball, move the guy over, score him in. And you knew that, you know, you're playing Detroit. You wanted to be able to play well against Detroit. I had the Tigers as a team to beat in the American League Central coming into this year just because of the additions that they had in the offseason, particularly on the pitching side of the rubber. We saw it last night with Jack Flaherty, where you were able to go ahead and know what you needed to go and get in the offensive category for them. They didn't get it done last night, but they got it done today. And a lot of that comes with the offense, moving the small plays over and making smart plays on the offensive side of the game to set up your pitchers, as we saw in the back half of this game today, to be able to give them that space and that ability to really do great things on the defensive side.
Yeah, they had extra base hits to lead off innings. Buxton had a double there. I'm in the Legends Club, by the way, so that's what all that racket and noise just started to turn on randomly. That's obviously a great sign here on the podcast, so if you're hearing that, that's what that is. You got Buxton with the leadoff double. You had Martin with the leadoff double in this game. Larnick eventually had a single that he got to second on. It just seemed like they were doing a really good job getting on base, like Rocco Baldelli kind of wanted to see. He wanted to start seeing them have productive ABs day in and day out, and it seems like when you're getting sack flies, when you're moving runners over, those are the type of bats you want to see. The other at-bats where you're swinging out of your shoes and whatnot, those are the ones that obviously drive you crazy.
Well, I think that's the big thing you look at, too, at the start of the season for Minnesota. And granted, we're only a couple of weeks in, but you look at this team a week ago, they were dead last in batting average, dead last in runners in scoring position. And in terms of how they were able to score runs, well, it's oftentimes the big fly that had to do it. Problem there was they weren't getting the big flies to be able to send people in. And when you start to see putting the ball in play, letting the defense, forcing the defense to make a play on a ball, it's creating opportunities for Minnesota that they hadn't had previously coming into this series against Detroit and then going on to Chicago later this week. We're just putting the ball in play and being able to avoid the three true outcomes of baseball. It's given them an opportunity to maintain their progress and continue to build something here into the season. Again, we're only, 20 games almost into the season. You're six games back entering play today, and you have this great opportunity to close the gap. You don't want to sink a team right now, but when you start being able to actually put the ball in play, you're going to start winning more baseball games. And today's game was proof positive that once you can do that, you can actually start working towards being on the winning side of the ledger.
Yeah, and look, guys like Austin Martin had some productive at-bats today. Trevor Larnick, who has an awesome opportunity here to kind of take it and run with it. He's batting cleanup for the second straight game today, and he was able to have another big game at the plate. He gets another single. He had the home run, obviously, on Friday, and Kepler is probably coming back tomorrow, if not Monday. That was kind of the word from the clubhouse. I would be shocked if he's not here for the White Sox series. I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, if he's not here tomorrow. But he's obviously on his way back. But, you know, with all these injuries that have piled up, Alex, you're going to need these young, inexperienced dudes. So it's Larnick and it's Austin Martin, you know, kind of having to take the team by storm and basically say, all right, it's up to us because Correa's injured, Royce Lewis is hurt, Max Kepler's hurt, and it's up to these young guys to try to dig themselves out of a hole. It, you know, it might not be the best recipe for success, but I would say, you know, these young guys in Larnach and Martin kind of set the tone as a fourth hitter and a ninth hitter in a lineup today that seemed like they were taking more of those productive and responsible approaches at the plate that Rocco's been really wanting this team to start doing instead of getting swing out of your shoes. And that's also extremely encouraging because we always talk about, you know, Royce Lewis and we talk about the top prospects, but when you see guys like Larnach, who's been up here a few times but hasn't clicked, and even Austin Martin, who was at one point a fifth overall pick in the draft, start having those type of ABs, I think positive things are going to happen.
Well, I think making the move to bring Trevor Larnach up after having to send Matt Wallner back to St. Paul, I think it was the right decision. We've seen Trevor Larnach over the years as one of those kind of 4A ball players. Too good for AAA, not good enough necessarily consistently for the major league level. But he's taken great advantage of the opportunity he's provided on this time and in this call-up. I loved Austin Martin's game today, too. I think that when he was able to go 2-for-2 to start the day and really provide that spark in terms of when we talked before about moving runners up and advancing the play from there, Austin Martin did a great job of doing that today. Was very aggressive on the field side as well. He made a diving effort for a ball to try to make a outstanding catch in the late innings. Didn't come up with it. Fortunately for Minnesota, it didn't hurt in the long run. But you love to see, especially this time of the season, you want to figure out now what you have in the minor leagues and below. Because if you don't want to be figuring out and wondering, you know, say Royce Lewis gets hurt in August, say, you know, Carlos Santana goes down again, or you need something else out of your starting pitching rotation from the minor league level. You want to know now what you have for the rest of the season. And right now, between what I've seen so far out of Larnach, what I've seen out of Austin Martin, and what you've seen them continue to build up in terms of that AAA farm team in St. Paul, there's a lot to really like here for the Twins if injuries continue over the course of the season, because the guys who are coming up from St. Paul, they're giving you the results that you're looking for and starting to build some positive momentum in this team.
Yeah, and on the pitching side, obviously Bailey Ober has another terrific outing. He had that awful crooked number that happened in the opening series against Kansas City, and you know, from a stat perspective, from a 30,000-foot view, you're still going to see, you know, an ERA that's basically north of 5, and it's going to take him like 2 months to really get that back to a respectable level. But over the last few starts, just a few earned runs. I mean, he gives up the first earned run against the Dodgers in his second start and then goes on 15 consecutive scoreless innings without giving up a run. You know, we talked about this pitching staff having some questions, and certainly there are still some questions with the Paddocks and the Varlins of the world. But Bailey Ober has kind of reemerged here after a really ugly first start of the season, and he was dominant today, dude. I mean, he was absolutely on his game the entire time. He ends up going, obviously, 6 innings, gives up just 2 hits. He just had a few base runners. He did run into some trouble there, obviously, in the 6th inning, but struck out 6, and has a really, really productive start when the Twins needed him the most. And we've been getting some bullpen usage here in just a bit, but I think Bailey Ober going out there and shoving was just a good sign that, you know, the Twins weren't down early like they've been in so many other games this season.
Well, I think what Bailey Ober does a lot of the times, too, is you see a big start where he gives up a big crooked number, and then it tanks his stats for the rest of the year. Let's look at what he did last season, the most innings that he had pitched in a season in his major league career. I also think about how he performs on the road, too, in those bounce-back games and those several games after giving up those crooked numbers. Declan, you mentioned it, 2 earned runs in his last 3 starts, both of which came at Target Field, and both of which didn't hurt the team significantly in those games head-to-head. But you think about other times where Bailey Ober has had ace-type material. I think about a game where he pitched last year at Camden Yards where he shut out the American League regular season champion Orioles for 8 innings and pitched dominantly. I think about a game his rookie year in Houston where he took the American League playoff champion winners and he shut them out scoreless over 7 innings. He has the type of stuff in his arm with the pitches that he has, the way that he uses it to be ace kind of stuff. The only thing that I need to see more out of Bailey Ober is that consistency, because you mentioned those crooked numbers really hurt a team. And when you have a 162 game season, those crooked numbers do tend to get lost in the shuffle. But when you have, you know, you're pitching in game 2, game 3, game 4 of the division series, and all of a sudden you have that, well, geez, then you're down a game in a series. And so you need to see more consistency from Bailey Ober. We've seen it, again, portions of last season, but just need to see it again for a full 162 to really believe in Bailey Ober.
Yeah, I mean, if he's kind of taking the next step, Alex, I mean, I think Twins fans should feel pretty good about 1-2-3 of, you know, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober. I think they'll still need another 4 starter, you know, if they're really gonna be serious and they start turning the season around. But yeah, those are good 3 guys to have, and if Ober can kind of be consistent and now start to really pitch every single day, which, yeah, to your point, you know, he's been kind of slowly built up here to a degree, if he is clicking and he's being the pitcher he should be, that should be pretty good. Hey, on the bullpen front, so yesterday they burned Brock Stewart. They actually used Griffin Jacks for a ton of pitches as well. Jax ends up actually coming out to get the save situation. But this is where, Al, I think, like, getting Duran back, eventually getting Justin Topa back, which I provided an update on in another episode of Extra Innings this morning, getting those guys back, man, you just can kind of, like, breathe easier a little bit. I don't think the bullpen has really been a problem. I know there's been a couple blips over the last week. In fact, the bullpen has probably been their biggest strength, even with this slow start. But, man, you get Duran back, it just makes life so much easier to bridge those gap into wins, right? Like, today having to go from Okert to Sands to Funderburk and then into Jax, you know, on back-to-back days, it makes you sweat a little bit to get the win. But getting Duran back, I think, will make life so much better for Twins fans.
Well, and I think one of the strengths that the Twins have had over the last three seasons has been that bullpen. You think about even going back a decade ago, where the recipe for success was have a star that goes six innings, then have a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, and a ninth inning guy. The Twins have that when healthy between Jax, Stewart, and Duran. And so once you get Joan Duran Bach, that's funny, I like that. Once you get him back, you'll be able to start tying in and including him more into the back end of the bullpen. Because we saw last year, when Duran is healthy, he is the most dominant closer currently in the game of baseball. The electric fastball with the great motion, and then that wipeout slider that he has, it's unhittable when he's healthy. And so when you think about continuing to build up, you'd go in that bullpen. And right now, I could trust anybody to go out there and get three outs. Granted, you're going to have some step backs. Griffin Jax had those a couple of times this past week. But if you continue to trust Griffin Jax, as Twins fans have for a long, long time now, he's going to be able to go out and consistently prove Rocco Baldelli, the coaching staff, and the ownership group, right, that Griffin Jax is one of the guys that you want to have in those clutch situations late in games, especially as we turn the calendar to the month of May.
So Louis Varland will be on the mound for the series finale tomorrow against the Detroit Tigers, and Twins need one really bad. They haven't won a series since the opener against Kansas City. They had the White Sox coming to town, who look as bad as a baseball team has in a long, long time. You know, Alex, I kind of laid out the path going into this weekend series. If you go 9-4 over this next 13 games, which a lot of them are against the White Sox, which helps, and you have the Tigers and the Angels built in, I think getting a big series win tomorrow and letting Twins fans kind of get a little bit more jolt and a little bit more optimism back into here, it's going to take a little bit. I know it's going to take a while to get fans kind of bought back into this team after this slow start. Tomorrow's a pivotal game, dude. They get a chance to win this series and try to get their season back on track with those White Sox coming to town. I don't think you can just assume a sweep of the White Sox with as bad as they've played, but I will say, if you can win a series, and then you get to host the White Sox, who don't look as good, it just will make things so much easier to get back to 500, which the Twins have obviously dug themselves quite a hole to start the year.
And I think in terms of the last 15 years of Minnesota Twins baseball, the Twins have dug themselves into sub-500 holes, but they've been able to pull them out of that. I think you talked about the schedule coming up where you have this four-game series against Chicago. I agree with you. I don't think a sweep in a four-game series is realistic. You know, we don't really see that in current Major League Baseball, four-game sweeps over teams, especially those at a divisional level. But then you get three in Anaheim. You get three more in Chicago. Then you get Boston here at home. There's wins that are on this schedule, and it has to start tomorrow with Detroit, because you also know you're going to have a doubleheader coming up in late July in Detroit, and you know that when the season comes down to it, Detroit is a team that you're going to have to contend with. We know Chicago's not going to be that case. Then you got the Guardians still that you got to worry about. And especially what we've seen from the Cleveland Guardians so far, already having tied for the best record in the American leagues entering today. Now the best after New York lost earlier today. You have to start thinking about how do we get sure and how do we make sure that we win games that we're supposed to win. Great teams do that. Bad teams don't. If Minnesota wants to be a great team and wants to have playoff baseball at Target Field again in October, they need to beat Chicago three times out of four or four times out of four. They need to start racking up those wins against the teams that they need to and can beat. Because you look at the month of May, too, there's other teams in there that they should be able to beat, especially at home. I think about a series against Oakland. I think about a series against Washington at Nationals Park in D.C. There are wins on the schedule for this team coming up. If you just turn the calendar to the month of April and it starts with, you know, a win tomorrow to get the series victory against Detroit, then you have 3 out of 4 against Chicago. You roll into that series at Anaheim next week. There's a really good chance for this Twins team to not only just close the gap, but to start jumping about and thinking about jumping back into first place.
And dude, look, they played the Dodgers and they played the Orioles. And even though we might have some people, I shouldn't say I did, but some people, you know, probably thought the Twins were going to be legit contenders again because they're going to win with this division. You know, there is clearly a gap between the Dodgers and the Birds and teams like the Twins right now. There's a gap there. But, you know, the division is still up for grabs. And yes, you know, to your point, you can't overlook Cleveland. You can't bury yourselves because them and the Royals have gotten off to really nice starts. And you got to take care of some wins against your own division teams. But right now, if they can just get back to 500 and kind of basically reset their season, I really like where they're going to be headed. Yeah, back into May and back into June, and now all of a sudden you can kind of put those first 2 weeks behind you, and you're going to be in a good spot.
Well, I think it's a cliche in baseball where you aren't going to think your season in the first 2 weeks of the year, but you certainly can. And right now, I think that with what we've seen out of Minnesota, you mentioned the Orioles in the Dodgers series. I like how the Twins played in the Dodgers series, but they weren't able to pick up any significant traction from it. Same too last week out in Camden Yards, where you had opportunities to win games. And that last game, that Wednesday day game, was looking so good for Minnesota before the Cedric Mullins walk-off home run that you had a chance and you had a reasonable doubt to believe that this Minnesota team, you know, health, injuries, conditions, whatever it might be, they still have a chance to contend against those top teams. Because like we've seen now, the Dodgers, all of a sudden, they're within a game of 500, where baseball is a funny game, but if you continue to be consistent over the course of 6 months, you're going to be all right. And I think that's what's up for Minnesota.
So this is Score North Extra Innings. Hit the subscribe button for close to daily Twins content. My name is Declan Goff. That's Alex Wested. You can also find an additional episode here from this morning. There was a ton of injury updates from Royce Lewis to Carlos Correa to Justin Topa, Max Kepler, etc. So there is a ton of updates there to come. So you can go check out that on the YouTube channel, on the podcast feed. Again, Score North Extra Innings coming at you at just about every single home game and select road games with myself. Then we have the full show with Mackie and Judd. Trevor Plouffe, former Twin and MLBer, joins on Tuesdays, so we appreciate him joining. And yeah, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate it. This has been Score North Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. That's Alex Wested. I'll be talking to you guys on Sunday.